a preview of the Lynn Canal commercial fishing season, and decreasing metal prices force a Yukon mine with connections to Skagway to issue layoffs. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. The forecast for the Lynn Canal commercial fishing season looks rosy, as in pink, and that's the salmon forecasted for abundance for the fleet this summer, according to Randy Bachman, commercial fish and game biologist in Haines.
That should be a banner year for pinks.
The 2013 Southeast Alaska Drift Gillnet Fishery Management Plan, authored in part by Bachman, says during the 2012 Drift Gillnet Task Force meeting in Juneau, the industry requested that the department look into the possibility of providing harvest opportunity on Lynn Canal pink salmon in excess of escapement needs. The pink salmon stocks are forecasted using harvest numbers.
I know it's forecasted by the University of Alaska and as well as the department, and the forecast is something like 56 million harvest in the purslane fishery. It's kind of how it's measured, is in harvest. The escapements were very good across the board. Of course, this was coming from the 2011 brood year, where pinks were plentiful, especially on the north end of Southeast.
On to sockeye. The sockeye returns for Chilkat Lake are also forecasted to be strong. Bachman said there was a good number of young fish that came back last year, which can indicate the following year, or this year, will also be strong. That same method of forecasting indicated a strong run for Chilkoot last year. There was a strong return of young fish to Chilkoot in 2011, and last year saw the highest escapement on record for Chilkoot. But coming off that record-breaking year, this year's Chilkoot sockeye forecasts are a little less optimistic. The parent year for the sockeye making their way back to Chilkoot this year is 2008, and in that year, escapement was below the goal range. But other positive factors make it hard to predict what the return will look like exactly, Bachman said.
So it's kind of a low escapement, but there seems to be good fry production or smolt production from that escapement, at least we think. So it's kind of a mixed bag there.
The summer and fall chum fishery is forecasted to be average. The majority of the summer run is from DIPAC, or the Douglas Island Pink and Chum Salmon Hatchery releases. According to the management plan, projections for the Boat Harbor Terminal harvest area return is about 391,000 fish. That's below the 2012 return, but still well above average since 1991. Wild chum returns are on a much lower scale than hatchery returns, but are still expected to be average this year for wild stocks. Fall wild chum returns are also expected to be near average since escapements of Klahini River and Chilkat River fall chum stocks have been trending upward from historical lows during the 1990s. Sockeye genetic testing also continues this season. The testing should help determine sockeye stock of origin in the Chatham and Icy Strait corridor and help determine if sockeye bycatch is an issue that needs to be addressed. And just some quick numbers for reference. Drift gillnet harvests have averaged about 4.1 million salmon over the last 10 years. Drift gillnetters in Southeast primarily target chum, pink, and sockeye, with chum making up more than half of the harvests in the last decade. Drivers will continue to travel free on the Alaska Marine Highway, at least through next April. That's according to a schedule released by the state-run ferry system on Friday. After the winter 2013-14 ferry schedule concludes on April 30th, 2014, passengers driving a car onto the ferry will have to pay for a ticket for themselves. A separate 30% discount for round-trip tickets will disappear earlier on October 1st of this year. The ferry system said in a statement that the move is to make up for a smaller budget. The state cut the Marine Highway's operating budget by about $3.5 million for the next fiscal year. Jeremy Woodrow is a spokesman for the Marine Highway.
Every department in the state received a reduction in their operating budget. So this is just the amount that was given to AMHS. Department of Transportation had cuts across the board, and this is just AMHS's amount for their operating budget.
The Marine Highway also plans to save money by returning the Fast Ferry Fairweather and the Taku back to service a little later in the spring. The Fairweather is undergoing a massive overhaul this winter. It includes new engines, which are the result of a settlement between the state and the marine makers after the Fairweather and its sister ship, the Chiniga, experienced repeated engine problems. For the Upper Lynn Canal, the schedule looks similar to last year, except for a shift from Wednesday to Tuesday service. Last winter, the LeConte sailed between Juneau, Haines, and Skagway on Sunday, Wednesday, and Fridays, with the Matanuska sailing on Monday. The Taku provided service between Haines and Juneau on most Thursdays, but not to Skagway. For this coming winter, the LeConte will sail the route on Tuesdays instead of Wednesday. That will leave Haines without service on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and Skagway without service on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. The complete winter schedule is online at ferryalaska.com. The ferry system's summer 2014 schedule will come out sometime in the fall after the state asks for public comment. A Yukon silver mine company announced Monday it was laying off employees at its Yukon site and Whitehorse and Vancouver offices. Officials say falling silver and zinc prices have forced the layoffs. It's still unclear how the layoffs or other cost-saving measures could affect production and on down the line affect shipments through Skagway. Alexco has been shipping lead and zinc from the Belkino mine at Keno since 2010 through Alaska Marine Lines. The Skagway News reported in 2011 that Alexco shipped more than 24 million pounds of minerals out of Skagway that year. The CBC and Whitehorse spoke to company officials today about the layoffs and prospects for a turnaround in prices and investments. Here is part of that interview.
Alexco Resource announced that lower prices for silver and lead are forcing the company to scale back its operations, and that will include layoffs at its Keno Hill operation. To find out more, we have reached Clint Nauman. And good morning, Mr. Nauman.
Good morning.
Who will be affected by these layoffs?
The layoffs will be pretty much across the company in general. About 25% of our Alexco workforce at Keno Hill will be affected by this action, but about half of those positions were already vacant. So the total number of people affected at Keno Hill is 15, and there will be about a 10% rollback in staff in our other offices, primarily in Whitehorse and in Vancouver. For the most part, the reductions in force and other cost containment controls and methods that we're using at the present time are related to a rollback in capital projects, primarily the initiation of production from two additional mines that we were planning to commission in 2013, but at the present time we'll defer until there is a recovery in silver and base metal prices.
And just let people know, those two other mines were where?
The two other mines are in the Keno Hill Silver District. They're located, they're called Onique and Lucky Queen. They're located approximately 3 kilometers and maybe 8 kilometers from the operating Belkino mine, respectively.
Nauman went on to say the downturn in prices have also been affected by a decrease in investment demand. But industrial demand for silver also needs to increase for a turnaround.
So silver is an industrial metal. It's widely used in the high tech industries, as conductors. It has a lot of other pharmaceutical type uses, and I think as the global economy begins to recover and picks up speed, then the industrial consumption of silver is going to expand, as is lead and zinc, two other products that we produce. So I think that we may see some pressure on the consumption side from industrial consumption, and that also will help the future price of these metals.
Are you thinking short term or long term here?
Well, now you're getting way out of my league. I certainly do not see. I see no pressure personally on the commodities market in the short term. I do think that the climate that we're in at the present time is likely to extend at least through 2013, and you know, maybe 2014 will be a different year, but that remains to be seen.
That was the CBC in Whitehorse talking with Clint Nauman, CEO of Alexco Resource. Another nice weekend made for nice fishing. The Haines King Salmon Derby wrapped up Sunday with the winning fish caught on the last day. Chancey Craig of Oregon, but formerly of Haines, caught the 34.7-pound winning fish, according to event organizer Tony DeWitt. Craig was fishing Sunday with the DeWitts on the boat Tiffany Lee. Craig was traveling back to Oregon on Monday and couldn't be reached, but DeWitt said Craig lived in Haines until moving away in the early 90s. He visited last year and fished the Derby, but didn't win. Last year's winning fish was just over 41 pounds. Craig's winning catch on Sunday was one of 33 fish caught in the Derby this year, DeWitt said. That's a few less than last year's Derby, but DeWitt said more fish may be on their way since the Derby isn't held in the peak of the run.
You know, I think there's going to be more fish showing up. And, you know, we don't fish at the peak of the run.
More than $18,000 in prizes will be awarded at the award banquet on June 9th at 4 p.m. at the American Bald Eagle Foundation. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Special thanks to the CBC for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.